introduce Brother Clovis Sturdivant to come up here and to bring the word, brother. We are looking forward to this message.
We're going to be looking at Psalm 62. As Zsa Gabor said to her fifth husband, "Don't worry, I won't keep you long." I understand y'all have a business meeting, and I was telling the brother that over the years, I have felt that going to business meetings was my penance for sin. Psalm 62, beginning in verse 1. And we'll forget who wrote it and all that sort of stuff. He said, "A psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Go down to verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Father, we thank you for your word. You are our rock. You are our salvation. God, you are our refuge. We wait only upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. I tell you what, as I read that, I began to think that over and over and over, he proclaimed what God was. But then he said, "Wait upon God." In verse 1, he said, "My soul waiteth upon God, from whom cometh my salvation." Folks, I'm going to tell you what. In these 45 years, I've run into some really screwy people, and they have told me, "Oh, preacher, I can go fishing, I can go hunting, and I can sit and watch the awesomeness of God from a deer stand or from a boat and just worship God." And I've said, "You can, but I seriously doubt that you do. You're sitting there waiting on a deer. You're sitting there waiting on a fish to bite, and you're not worshiping God. The world out there is not God. It is a reflection of God. He made it, and it's a beautiful thing. It's an awesome thing." Last month, my wife and I finally broke down after 48 years of marriage, and we had always talked about going to Alaska. And we took off and we went to Alaska for 11 days. We did a cruise back to Vancouver, British Columbia. But one of the things that just struck me as we were there, looking at those snow-capped mountains and the glaciers and that, I just stood there and people were talking about, they would, beside us, they would say, "Man, this is beautiful, it's awesome." And I turned around to one guy and I said, "And the one that made it is..." You know, you just look at all of that and you think about all that God did. And here is the thing that just grabs me when I think that, is there anything God cannot do to take care of somebody he loved? God just spoke this into being. He didn't go out there and pound and beat and sweat and do, he just simply spoke it into being and it was there. That's an awesome God. And he said that I wait on him. Let me tell you something. Waiting on God has never been a waste of time. Waiting on God has never been a waste of time. There have been times with my impetuous nature. I want to go grab it. I want to shake it like a dog with a snake. And I want to see a resolution to the situation. But there are times when you've got to step back, leave it alone, and say, God, I trust only in you. In one of the churches, we had 22 deacons. And I remember every once in a while in deacons' meeting, that situation going on in the church, and they'd say, preacher, in the deacons' meeting, give us your little spiel. We need to hear it. And my little spiel was, for you to settle some issues, you as deacons need to stand up, speak out, and be counted. But there are times that for you to settle issues in this church, you have got to shut up, kneel down, and talk to God and let him work it out. I grew up on a cotton farm over in the Tensaw Swamp area. And everything that I think is rural and country from the word go. And my grandmother that raised me, she used to tell me all the time, son, if you leave a cow patty alone, it'll dry over and it'll quit stinking. But you stir in it. But you stir in it and it's going to smell. And I've thought about that many a time in these 45 years, that my grandmother telling me, Clovis, there are times, and even God telling me, there are times when you need to just shut up and wait on God and trust him to do what only God can do. But there are other times that if you want to have peace, the deacons are going to have to stand up and be men of God and say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done. And I've had people tell me, preacher, how do you know the difference when to and when not to? I can't tell you. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. You just need to listen to what God tells you to do and do it. So the psalmist said, we need to wait on God. I remember that I pastored a church one time, and we had, several hundred college students that always sat in this middle section. And they were always taking notes. And when they would take notes, they would ask me after it, I missed something, and they would write that note in. But I remember that I had a young man that he came to me one time, and he said, Brother Clovis, I just don't know what I'm going to do. He was a student at the local university. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, son, what is going on in your life that you seem to be so anxious about? He said, I'm 20 years old and I'm not married. I thought he was joking with me. And I looked at him and grinned real big, and he wasn't grinning. He had tears coming down his eye. And I told him, I said, son, let me let you in on a secret. It's better to let God give you the right one than you to get the wrong one. Folks, let me tell you something. My two daughters, I told them, I said, when you go out on a date, Daddy wants you to take your brothers along. Well, they only had one brother, and they didn't want to take him along with them anywhere. But what I told them is you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you take them on a date with you. And if a boy wants to do something, you tell him this. Daddy told me one time that if a boy wanted me to do something, if you'll go ask him and he gives you his permission, it's okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we need to wait on God, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a job, I don't care what it is. We need to wait on God. So the psalmist David said, my soul waits upon God. He is my rock, my salvation, and my defense. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. I love the Lord, and I've served Him a long time, and I hope I'm going to serve Him a lot longer time. But the one thing that I know is that if you stand on the rock of Jesus, you're not going to be moved. My sister and I were talking after she had her heart attack, and two of her daughters were standing there, and she told me, she said, Clovis, she said, you know, I'm going through all of this, and I'm in a lot of pain. And the other way I could go just like it and be out of pain and just go right on. And I looked at her and I said, well, baby, if that's what you want to do, you take off. And her daughters went nuts. And I said, your mother is not saying she's going to kill herself. Your mother is saying, either I stay here and serve God or to go on and be with Him, which is far better. You know, we in a few minutes of pain, it's over with, and we're gone forever to be changed again. I tell you what, somebody asked me not long ago, preacher, are you afraid to die? And my answer is, yeah. I mean, what idiot would tell you, oh, I'm looking forward to suffering. I'm looking forward to being in a car crash and just torn all to pieces. I'm excited about the stroke. Walking around, not being able to use one arm or whatever it may be. I am a chicken when it comes to suffering. I don't like pain, but you listen to me there. I may be afraid of how I'm going to die, but I'm not afraid of where I'm going after I die. Okay? And so he said, He is my rock, He is my salvation, He is my defense. He's everything that I need. Verse 5, and my soul, it's as if David is talking to himself, looking in a mirror, if it be, and he says, wait, soul, only upon God, because God will not let you down. Verse 7, God is my salvation. God is my glory. Man, one of these days, Scripture says, ooh, with Jesus. I don't know what that means, but that sounds really good to me. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we need to understand that the only glory we have is that of being Jesus Christ's child. He is the rock of my salvation, my refuge. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. I had a lady come in for counseling, went on for about 2 or 3 weeks, and she and I talked, and she was telling me, I'm angry at God. I'm angry at God. And I said, well, do me a favor. Why don't you just right now tell God what you think about God? She said, oh, I couldn't dare tell God what I'm thinking right now. It would be horrible for me to talk to God right now. And I said, well, what you don't understand, God already knows what you're thinking. And I said, why don't you write it down for me? And so she wrote it down, brought it back the next day, and I sat there and read it, and I went, whew, my goodness, I, you know, man, this is something else. And I said, would you be willing, me and you, to go to God and me read this to God? And I did. And right in the middle of me reading it, she began to break down and cry. He says for us to pour out our heart to God. Don't you think God already knows what you're thinking? Why can't you go to Him and talk to Him? He already knows. So he said, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart. God is a refuge for me. Over the years, I've been told by folks that that know me and have been around me, sure, you don't have any patience. And every one of them, I've told them, I said, that's a bald-faced lie. Matter of fact, I've got every bit of the patience God ever gave me because I hadn't used any of it. But if we're going to wait on God, we're going to have to understand we can't do it, but God can. We have to wait for God to open doors. We have to wait on God to move in a situation in our life. We have to wait on God to be able to put us in the right spot. We have to wait on God. I just got through with an interim at Liberty Baptist Church, and I remember, Brother Clovis, we're getting discouraged. It's been a year and a half. We're getting discouraged. And I said, why? All you're telling me is you don't trust God. It may take 2 years. It may take 3 years. But God has a man out there for you. And when he is ready, and when you are ready, out of the clear blue, God is going to put you together. Are you willing to wait on God to give you the right man as pastor? Or, as I've told churches before, will you be willing to wait on God to move pastor that may be at your church? You know, are you willing to wait on God, whatever it may take? Preachers may be waiting on God to move some of you. But are we willing to wait on God? This is God's church. It is not Clovis Sturdivant's church. It is not your church. You didn't die on the cross. He died on the cross. It is his church, and we must wait on God to do what only God can do. And if you do, it is so much sweeter. So wait on God. Realize that he is your strength and your refuge. He is your salvation. He is your rock, and only him. Father, we thank you again for these. Thank you for this church. We pray, Father, that you'll bless it. You've got all kinds of blessings for us. You've got all kinds of blessings for this church. And I just pray that you'll just pour them out. But God, you will. You've said that in your word. You want to open up the windows of heaven. You want to pour us out a blessing. But we have to be in the spot to receive it. And so we just pray that we'd all work on ourselves and not somebody else. And when it is right, when we have waited on you, then you're going to bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother, come.